We're going to start off our worship service this morning in hymnal, hymn number 210, Praise to the Lord the Almighty. Daniel chapter 4, verse 37 says, Praise and exalt and glorify the King of Heaven. Let's stand as we sing. Page 213. We bring the sacrifice of praise, Hebrews 13:15. Let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. We'll sing this twice. We bring the sacrifice of praise into His house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer up to You the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And we offer up to You sacrifices of joy. Here we go. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer up to You the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and we offer up to You the sacrifices of joy. Amen.
Father, we stop and we offer up our sacrifice of praise to You. Our sacrifice of thanksgiving, our sacrifice of joy. And Father, we love You and thank You for loving us. And it's in Your name we pray. Amen. Be seated. I want to welcome you to the to Calvary this morning. It's a pleasure to see you here. If you're visiting, you are our special guest. We thank you for the coming here to worship. We know there are many opportunities and places to go, but we thank you for joining us. In the way of announcements, I just got a couple, but today's our quarterly business conference at the end of church. We'll have about a 2 or 3 minute break afterwards, so if you're visiting, we won't make you sit through that. But the main thing that we want to bring you today is the deacons and I have been working on the church constitution and making some changes to it. We have those for you. But other than that, there's not a lot, so it won't take long. So stay put if you're a member and be a part of that. We want to welcome you again for coming here to worship. And let's continue our praise and thanksgiving to the one who died for us.
One tells us, let us go to the house of the Lord. We have come into His house and gathered in His name to worship Him. We have come into His house and gathered in His name to worship Him. We have come into His house and gathered in His name to worship Christ alone. Worship Him, Christ alone. We, Lord, get about ourselves, magnify His name, worship Him. Let's forget about ourselves and magnify His name and worship Him. Let's forget about ourselves and magnify His name and worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Christ the Lord. Now, if you'll turn back to page 259, Angels from the Realms of Glory will sing verses 1, 2, and 5. Angels from the realms of glory, wing your flight o'er all the earth. Ye who sing creation's story, now proclaim Messiah's birth. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Shepherds in the field abiding, watching o'er your flock by night. God with men now residing, yonder show the infant light. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. And on the last, through an infant now we view Him, He will share His Father's throne. Gather all the nations to Him, every knee shall then bow down. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Amen. Our special music this morning is going to be a video, and our senior enlisted person, our brother back there, my Navy brother, right? had put on a request several weeks ago for playing this song, and somehow it kept getting pushed back. So my apologies, Senior Chief. We are going to hear the Cathedrals sing Mansion Over the Hilltop.
Again, listen to Scott sings Mansion Over the Hilltop.
I'm satisfied with just a cottage below, a little silver and a little gold. But in that city where the ransom was high, I wanna go on that silver line. I've got a mansion just over the
Ballard. You know what I appreciate that usually the young men, when they want to be featured this way, want to be featured on something real fast with a high ending up tempo. Scott said, if you're going to feature me, let me sing Mansion Over the Hilltop, because he said I fell in love with the song too.
Well, let me tell you folks, don't think me poor or deserted or lonely, 'cause I am not discouraged, 'cause I'm heaven bound. I'm just a pilgrim, and I'm in search of that city, and I want a mansion, a home.
Father, we thank you that we have a future because of you. That this life is not our heaven. That the trials and the tribulations that we encounter are temporary. But you have something planned for us. And because of you and what you've done, we can be more than conquerors. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. This concludes, this message concludes our series on conquering real life. And over the course of these last 2 months, we have heard some incredible stories of how people like you and I have conquered real life. Because the fact of the matter is, real life is really hard. It doesn't become easy when you become a Christian. It becomes harder. And we are promised that it's going to be harder. But we're also promised that everything that we need for every encounter and every trial we face will be given to us. Turn with me, if you have your Bibles, to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. The scripture for this series has been Romans chapter 8, verse 37. It says, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loves us." Verse 38 says, "For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor heights nor depths, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of Christ Jesus our Lord." If we have accepted Him and He's our Savior, there is nothing that will separate you from Him. Nothing. We've heard around this table incredible hardship that gives way to incredible victory when we allow ourselves to not focus on our trial, but focus on Christ. And Romans chapter 8 is a master's degree in the Christian life. If we can grab a hold of what Paul is telling us in these few verses, it will transform our life in terms of dealing with real life. So let's go back to the top of this chapter, verse 1. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. It says, "Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit's life in you has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death." Now let's stop right there for a minute, because this verse starts with a therefore, and we know that tells us something came before this that was important. In chapter 7, Paul is talking about living a life that is not so focused on rules and keeping this rule and that rule and doing this and that. That's not the life Christ has for us. Christ has a life of freedom for us because He set us free from sin. See, everything that we needed to do in our minds to be good enough or to be Christian enough or to be holy enough would never get us there. And in Paul's day, this is a time when they had so many rules that they had to keep in order just to be Christian enough. And what he's saying is, it's not good enough. And it will never be good enough. And that's not the life Christ wants for us. He set us free from sin. It has no hold. There is no condemnation. That's an incredible thought for us because we are self-condemning. It's the games that Satan plays in your head. You're not good enough. What if they saw you who you really are? What if they knew what you thought? You know what? Christ already does. And He loves you anyway. And He's the answer, not some rule, not some law. We've been set free from that. So let's keep going. Verse 3 says, "For God has done what the law, weakened by flesh, could not do, by sending His Son in the likeness of a sinful flesh for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to flesh but according to the Spirit." That's the gospel summarized. Okay? Understand this as we know it. Sin has a price. As we know, sin has separated us from God, and sin has a price. Neither you nor I are capable of paying that price because we're sinful. So Christ came to earth, as we know the gospel tells us, and paid that sin for us. That price has been paid in full. It's like when you get that bill paid in full and you're shocked. You're shocked. Who paid it? Doesn't matter. Yeah, it does. Who paid it? Christ paid it. So what's the requirement for Christ to pay for my sin? It's easy. The requirement is to accept it. Now, I've always thought in my mind to try to summarize what this Christian life boils down to. Christ died on the cross so I could have life. He gave up His life so I could have life. So what His expectations are of me is to try to live the life that He would want me to, because my life belongs to Him now. He paid for it. It's just like if you go buy a car and you write a check and you pay for it. Now it's yours. The dealership doesn't tell you what to do with it. It's yours. Christ paid for my sins, so if I want that payment, I'm going to give Him my life. And now I'm going to live the life that He wants me to live. The exciting thing about that is, the life that He wants me to live will bring me far more joy, far more happiness, far more peace than I could ever get without Him. I cannot live the life that He wants me to live and that I can live through Him because He paid for it. I can't get what He's going to give me without Him. So look at verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's laws. Indeed, it cannot. For those who are in flesh cannot please God. This is what I'm talking about. Okay? When I give my life to Him, I'm giving up the fleshly desires of this world. That's a lifelong struggle, as many of you know. There's two voices among others in my head. I've talked to you about this before. It's what Hollywood summarizes as the little good angel and the little devil on your shoulder. The voices in my head, the loudest one is the human voice, the flesh voice, the one that is selfish, the one that is focused on me, the one that is seeking pleasures that only last for a moment. And then I've got to find something else to try to pleasure this. But it never satisfies. Have you ever you can't drink enough water to get satisfied? That's what living in the flesh is about. The other voice is the Spirit. The moment that I accept Christ, my spirit was redeemed. That voice wants to please God. It's the one that's going, don't do that. And what Paul is saying here is wherever you're going to focus your mind is what's going to lead you. It's going to guide you. It's going to direct you. If you focus it on flesh, you're going to be hostile to God and you're going to be in sin. If you're going to focus it on God, then you're going to give your life over to Him and you're going to find something like most of us know in this room you can't find anywhere else. Look at verse 9. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. In fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. That's basic gospel. Once I give my life to Christ, then His Spirit dwells in me. Now, we need to stop and let that resonate for you a minute. Because I'm not sure that we all completely grasp this all the time. At the moment that I prayed to accept Christ, God is in me. Now, if you wrap your head around that, it should make an enormous difference in what you do with your life. Because everywhere I go, the Spirit of God goes. Everything that I look at, the Spirit of God looks at. Y'all know that my grandfather is probably the most influential person in my life. When I was growing up, if there was a moment that I could be with him, I would. I was with him every day during the summer. I went to work with him up till the point I went to college. And he was not only an important person to me, but he was an important person in my community. He was the mayor of our town. It's a town in South Carolina. It's about 30,000 people. It's not a tiny town, but not huge. And so my grandfather being so incredibly important to me and wanting to please him, when I would do things that I shouldn't do, or maybe not the best decision, my mother would use this in a good way for my own benefit, but she would say, "What would your grandfather think of that? What would your grandfather think of that?" This scripture, what Paul is telling us about our lives is, I should pass the test of everything that I'm doing in my life of what would Jesus think of that? What would Jesus think if I said this? What would Jesus think if I did that? Because remember, the Spirit of God is in you. The fascinating thing for most of us to think about, we are God's foot soldiers on this earth to carry His message. Once you've accepted Him, the Spirit's in you. The reason that you are still here is because He wants you to reach somebody. Okay? For those combat veterans in here, y'all understand, when you're in combat, the purpose is not to be in combat. The purpose is a goal. Whatever that goal is, that's why you're still there. And once that's accomplished, you're out. Okay? This is not our home. God has a plan and a purpose for you. And what Paul is telling us through this is we can be more than conquerors in the trials and the tribulations because Christ is in us. When we focus our minds on Him, we can see that this is not it. The best is yet to come. But we have a purpose here, and that's to carry His message. So don't get so focused on the trials of this life that you miss the reason there's trials in your life. Christ could have made our life easy, right? That's the thing that most people struggle with. They say, why did God let this happen? Why did this person die? Why did God why didn't God heal them? Why doesn't this happen? Why don't I have enough money? Why? All these questions you can ask, you get focused on the trial and you miss the fact that the reason the trials are in your life and in my life is so that we will be focused on Christ. And you say, what? Yes. Christ promised that all things work together for those who love Him. And He's going to use those trials to bring you closer to Him so that what we heard around this table, among other things, is because this person went through this trial, now they can do this. Or now they can reach this person. For those of you who are in school, college, high school, elementary school, your whole life is not about school, right? And let me finish this thought. In terms of, you're going to school so you can do this, right? Whatever this is, whatever you've decided you want to be when you grow up. School is a means to that. In order for us to be effective for Christ, we have to go to school. Okay? School is the trials. School is where you see who Christ is. And those trials bring us closer to Him. Look at verse 12. So then, brothers, we are debtors not to flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But by the Spirit, you are put to death. The deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you do not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption as the sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs of God, as fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may be glorified with Him. Let me illustrate that for you. Among my many sins and shortcomings is I've been known to drive too fast. I've really lost count, honestly, in how many times I've been stopped for speeding. I would say it's at least 50, probably. One time, right after Misty and I got married, we were at my parents' house, and we left there, and we were going home, and I was speeding. I've never tried to get out of a speeding ticket, even if I wasn't speeding like they say I was. It's for all the times I didn't get caught. But this time, I was going really fast, and I got stopped. It was dark. We were on a two-lane highway, and the policeman comes up to the car, and he says, do you know how fast you were going? And it's the same old questions if you've ever been stopped. Y'all know these. And I said, no, I really don't. I really didn't. He said, well, you were doing 90 in a 55. And I said, okay. And he said, let me see your license and registration. So I gave him my license, and he said, I'll be back. And so he goes to the car, to his car, and he's back there for a few minutes. And he comes back, and he said, can you step out of the car? And I said, okay. So I got out of the car, and we went to the shoulder, and he starts to apologize. He said, I am so sorry. Now remember, I'm wrong here, okay? I was doing 90 in a 55. I'm wrong. He's apologizing. And he said, I'm so sorry. He said, I didn't recognize you. There's a piece to this story that you need to know. My father was the police chief, and we share the same name, okay? So when I handed him my license and he gets back to his car, he doesn't see my name, he sees my dad's name. every sin you have ever committed has been washed away. Because when God looks at the record of what you've done, He doesn't see your name. Because Christ paid for your sins. I had to talk him into writing me a ticket. Okay? I said, I will be in so much trouble if you don't write this ticket. But don't miss the point. The point is, when he looked at my license, he didn't see my name. He saw my dad's name. And that's what this scripture is saying. Everything you've ever done is covered by Christ because you are an heir with Him to everything that God has in store for us. Everything. You are an equal heir. Verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy comparing with the glory that will be revealed to us. That's what conquering real life is about. Every trial that you encounter, every struggle that you have right now, does not compare with the glory that you are going to see because of Christ. Pray with me. Father, we thank you that we can be more than conquerors in every trial, in every suffering, in every tribulation that we encounter in this life because of what you have done for us. Father, I pray that our focus would be on living lives that are worthy of you. Father, in this room with this many people, there are certainly struggles, concerns, worries, heartaches. And Father, we give them to you, knowing that they don't compare to the glory that will be revealed to us. And Father, now I pray for someone in this room that might need to come to know you. Father, it's all for naught if we don't surrender our lives to you. And Father, I pray in this time that you would be glorified. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.